going to ask you all to do this, but you're going to have to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
there may be a
problem.
He had great possessions.
He had great
possessions. It might be a problem. I'm not sure yet. Y'all work it out with me, but there may be a problem with this young man. Luke calls him a young ruler, but there may be a problem because he had great possessions. Father, we honor you and praise you and thank you for this time, for this moment that we come together as a family in you to dig into your word, to for that worship experience in your word, God, to have your way. And by the blood of Jesus, we bind the enemy right now, that the enemy cannot hinder what you're going to do in through your word and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. He had great possessions. We need to be very, very cautious as to how we assess prosperity and possessions, because they don't necessarily equal blessings or blessed. You and I could probably think of a couple of folk that we know that have what looks like everything, but they're not happy. Amen. They gaining and they climbing and they working like crazy, gaining all this stuff, but they're still not happy. As a matter of fact, it's indicative of this young man approaching Jesus Christ. He's a rich person, but he was still missing something. But he had great possessions. And sometimes you might think you want something until you find out the price for it. You could talk a good game, but when you find out the price of what you need to pay for what you think you want, you might walk away sorrowful. What is blocking you from your blessings, and what is holding you back from saying yes to Jesus? Wow. What's blocking you? You know what blocks us? Not only having great possessions, but possessing stinking thinking. I don't know, we could sit in a service and then look around. I don't like nobody in here. That's stinking thinking. Because who said you all that? And see, when you don't have a kingdom mindset, we think on an individual basis. A lot of times we get stuck in our meetings or get in fights in our meetings because we're not thinking kingdom. We're thinking what we want to see. I wish I had a witness in here. A lot of times folk get mad at church because you didn't do what they want done. Not because it was good for the body of Christ, but because you didn't do what they wanted. That's why you got to be careful when you're a leader. You got to be careful when you're a preacher and a teacher and a leader in God's house. We don't work the way that the world works. God's system is different. God's system is inclusivity, not exclusivity. Just because you're in charge of something don't mean you got to go your way. I told you before that if it was my way, this would be carpenter's church and nobody be here. But see, we need to be careful with that because a lot of times we go off on stuff because it's not like we want it. And then we get real deep and say, God told me. God laid this. Oh, no, you just can't be rejected. You just got to have it your way. See, possessions are dangerous. Because sometimes folk will come and tell you, well, I've always been taught, well, this is in the 2000s. And your grandmama told you that back in the 1800s. But it's stuff that we hide behind. You know, my mama always about that. I'm not trying to discount what they told you, but please. That was like 50 years ago, which means that something may have changed. And if they've already gone to glory, they haven't had a chance to update you. You're going to update it yourself. Everything else can change, but these little things we hold on to, those are possessions that block us from seeing God, block us from moving in the Lord, block us from accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our hang-ups, our fears, our shyness, all these things that we have, these are possessions, not just material things, but things that block us from becoming exactly who God would have us be. I ain't going to join that ministry. Nah. I ain't going to join the choir. Nah. Last choir I was on, that was the last choir. We got stuff, y'all. Stuff blocks. No, I don't like her. I can't be on that ministry. Well, if both of y'all go to heaven, what ministry y'all going to be in? I can see us up there now. No. You go to gate 5. I'm going to gate 7. There's 12 gates up here. You go to gate 5. I'm going to gate 7 because I still got an issue with you. Christ will come back. The rock of the church. And I'm still, the best thing I got out of my life on the earth in Christ was I still got issues. What is this thing? Possessions. He had great possessions. It's stuff. Possessions is stuff. The dictionary defines the word possession as the act of having or taking into control ownership. But guess what? Sometimes stuff got us. It's okay to own stuff, but when stuff starts owning you, like you can't come to church because you got to wash your 20-room house with 16 bathrooms. That leaves 4 bedrooms. What are you going to cook? No, I'm just kidding. But you know, we have to be careful of what we put before God. Because those things can easily become idols. Our families too. Our loved ones too. Our jobs. They become possessions. Things that we're supposed to have control of, but if we're not careful, they have control of us. They become our idols. Possessions can be dangerous if one is not careful as to how one regards what they possess. Especially when you put your trust in them. Especially when we think we're somebody because we got stuff. My wife and I talked about that years ago. We were doing Christmas shopping and we rolled up in Lord & Taylor. And when you go to Lord & Taylor, and I don't know, we had the Saks. You know, when you go in there, I think you're supposed to dress a certain way. You ain't going no jeans and stuff, you know what I mean? What the people walk around? I said, my God. Is all the stuff up there? My God, what are they looking at? I thought the sales, I thought the markdown. It's strange, man. What's wrong? See, I'm regular. I don't know about all that. I'm regular. I don't care what I'm driving, and I'm regular. Amen. As long as it's moving and gas is in it, I'm going with it. See, we let stuff define us. Some folks don't feel like they're nobody until they got a certain watch and a certain car and a certain house. And I don't believe Christ came to die for us and redeem us so that we could be defined by stuff. But this man had great possessions. And, you know, if folks get nice stuff, I'm happy for them. But when you begin to change up, like, man. Oh, when you begin to talk me down because I don't have it. I don't want it. I don't want the headache. I don't want the monthly payment. There's some stuff I don't want. I'm not interested in. And because you got it, don't be like castigate, looking at me like something wrong with me. Possessions are dangerous. They can control you in an unhealthy way. And people can too. Oh, Pastor, I met the love of my life. Good. Do you have eternal life? Sometimes it's difficult for whatever reason or purpose to give up any or all of our possessions to gain something else that is desired. Some of us can, when we come to Christ, and it's, what God will do, he will ask you to give up something that he knows is in your way. Because can't nothing be in his way. He's God. But he may ask you to give up something that he knows is in your way. Think about that. The things that God already asked you to give up in 2013, we about ready to go in 2014, and you still walk around, I don't know what God wants me to do. Yes, you do. That's just a cute thing to say. I don't know. No, you haven't gone in your closet and talked to him about it because you don't want to give it up. Ain't that something? You want to hold on to the great possession. That's all I got left. If we're not careful, our most prized possession can become our idols. And in a sense can possess us. Sometimes giving us a false sense of security or dependency that can block us from becoming and or receiving. See, not only do we become, we receive. When we become who God wants us to be, we also receive from God. See, it's a reciprocal relationship. God not asked you to give up everything and all things just to come to Him so you can say, God made me poor. God said, no, I got something better for you. And because of our limited ability to actually look at heaven and see what heaven is made of, because of our limitations on that, we don't really value what God has to give us. I can get sick right now, and I guarantee you there's not a credit card in my wallet or my wife's pocketbook that can heal me. It can pay the bill. You ever see anybody in the hospital? Oh, Visa. Oh, Bank of America. In the mighty name of credit cards. Heal. Oh, Rolls Royce. Oh, diamond ring. That's why they take that stuff from you when you're in the hospital. Give me that stuff. So I could get that stuff off your mind. But see, what's happening is that in the world that we live in, it's so material. The world has defined success. And that's good because the Bible does not define success the way the world defines success. But see, we get it all messed up. We get in here talking about all that prosperity and stuff. But that's good as long as prosperity don't take you over, because prosperity didn't save you. Jesus saved us. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture that says that for our sakes, He became poverty. He was rich, but for our sakes became poor. Ain't that something? But this guy is funny right here. So if you take a closer look at Matthew 19, beginning at verse 16, let's see in this conversation as we listen to them talking, let's see if he had great possessions or great possessions had him. Amen. Amen. The hardest thing sometimes is to break somebody away from their possessions. The hardest thing sometimes is to break somebody away from their traditions, from their regularities of what they go. That's why a lot of folk won't come to church. They can't see themselves putting church on their schedule. But they can call the church when the schedule ain't right. When something happened to the schedule, they can call the church. But they can't see it. And see, that's where we have to have our minds renewed, because church is different. It's totally different. That's like you doing something that you never did before, therefore you have no way of comparing it to something else. So you got to trust God by faith. This is a faith walk. You got to trust God by faith because you never really walked this way before. But why would God lie? Why would God send His Son to die on the cross, to get up on Resurrection Sunday, and all be a great big lie? Wow. But that's the way we treat it sometimes. Now, I don't need no Jesus. I got great possessions. I got my job, man. I don't need it. I got a house, got a job, got a car. I got everything I need. No, you don't. But the enemy makes us feel that way because we're successful in the eyes of the world. Now, who do we want to serve? We want to serve God, or we want to serve mammon? Who do we want to be recognized by, the world or by God? Those are the questions we need to ask ourselves, because even some of us in the church still have great possessions. We have yet to be what God has called us to be because we got stuff holding us back. When we open the doors of the church, it's going to say, anyone who wants to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the enemy will put 50 things on your mind that tell you why you should not get up and you should not come down front, because they're going to be looking at you. Your dress ain't right. Your pants ain't right. I need my hair cut first. I need my face shined up. I need my makeup on. I ain't got the right stuff on. I wonder what they're going to be thinking. And Jesus said, that's foolishness. Because if we could get ourselves together, He would not have to die on the cross and resurrect. That's one thing you can come. That's what that song says, come as you are. But look at this young ruler, this young man. He approached Christ. Christ did not approach him. He approached Christ. Jesus Christ is doing something, ministering, going about His business. And so point number one, he says, what shall I do to have eternal life? So look at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing... I mean, he can say, well, good things, because he got everything. So what good, I got everything, so what other thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He approached Jesus. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Which means he did not have everything. He had great possessions, but he didn't have everything. And now he's trying to get something that money can't buy. It lets us know that Jesus, that God is not impressed with our accumulation of wealth. He's not impressed with all our possessions, but if they're in the right category, if they're in the right priority, he's okay with it. And look at verse 17. Jesus said, now this man's approached me. Let me figure out if he knew who I am. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Then he's like, But if thou wilt enter into life, eternal life, keep the commandments. You notice he didn't say keep my commandments. He said keep the commandments. Because he came to fulfill all that other stuff, and he'll have another commandment. So he said keep the commandments. So he said, the young man said, what shall I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, keep the commandments. And then look what the young man says. He says unto him, which one? Which one? You talk like that when you got it going on. You know, you got it going on. He's probably bling-blinging, you know. Which one, Jesus? Come on, man. You see all this stuff I got on, man. See these nice clothes, these shoes, see these rings I got. Man, what are you talking about? What's up? What you want me to do? I'm ready for you today, Jesus. But notice what Jesus says to him. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Everything he told him not to do was involve people. Don't murder anyone. Don't commit adultery with anyone. Don't steal from any person. Don't bear false witness against anyone. Honor your mother and father, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, he thought he was ready. He thought he was ready because he's saying, hey, what shall I do? What one thing? And then Jesus responds. Look at verse 20. The young man saith unto him, ha, I got you. He said, yeah, right. I thought you were going to give me something hard to do. All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Wow. Your possessions can make you talk stuff. Talk bold stuff, you know. I did all that. Ever since I was able to read them. From my youth up. What lack I yet? Let me look at verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, if thou will be justified, if thou will be mature, if thou will be saved, if thou will be made whole, go and sell that thou hast. Now, let me just put a little pin right there. God not telling you to sell everything you have unless everything you have is in the way. Oh, okay. God is not telling you to sell everything you have unless everything you have is in the way. God didn't say you couldn't have stuff. He said, don't let stuff have you. So God's not saying, this scripture's not saying, everybody needs to go sell what they have. No. I want you to get rid of the stuff that's in the way between you and me. I want nothing between you and me. So if the stuff that you have is in between you and I need you to get rid of the stuff. Because if you know who I am, I can get you some more stuff. But for right now, the stuff you have and the way you got it, and the way you accumulated it, because you're not giving me no credit right now for being the one that provided you with this. So I need you to take that what you got on your own, or that you think you got on your own, I need you to take that and get rid of that, and I actually need you to start a new life with me. That's if you want eternal life. He said, if you want to be perfect, sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He said, you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. A man said, no, I want treasure I can look at. I want to walk in PNC and say, vault please. Bank box please. I want to get on my laptop. I want to get on my iPad and type in my numbers and see my stocks. I don't want no treasure in heaven. I want eternal life. I want a shortcut. Go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Man, you must be crazy. That's how I got this. I stepped on the poor people's necks. How do you think I got rich? I charged them more than it was worth, man. Are you crazy? All I want is eternal life. You trying to take all my stuff to my stuff. See, when your stuff becomes your stuff and not God's stuff, then there's a problem. Because all that I have belongs to Him. That's why I don't have no problem giving. When God says give, I give because I know where it came from. Oh, I wasn't always there. I used to think it was me. I used to think, well, you're not the dumbest one in the class. You're not the smartest one. You ought to be able to make a little money somewhere, get a little job somewhere. You're not the, you know. God said, you got to understand something. I'm your source and not your resource. Your job is your resource. I'm your source. But this young man, he had great possessions. And when he told him that, I guess she said, well, shucks, you can take your eternal life. Never mind, I ain't going to say that. That's not good. That's not good. That's not good. Because that's heading the wrong way. Now, this is church. But I know what some of y'all was thinking. Because when we negotiate stuff, we think like that sometimes. Like, I got to pay all that for that? But you could... If thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, I have to give this young man some credit, because sometimes when we come to church, we don't understand who Jesus is, because some of us in the pulpit, some of us in the pew, some of us as ministry leaders and stuff don't represent Him properly. See, if I had all my jewels on my robe, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I want to join up in here. This is the jewelry church. But how do we represent? Do people have a good idea of who God is, how great God is, and the power of God, and how He can work in our lives through how we represent? He saw something somewhere that he thought maybe he hung around with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, thinking they could just go ahead and act legalistic and still have a relationship. Because people act like they got relationships. They don't have They act like. We got actors and actresses in the church, you know. In the body of Christ, there's actors and actresses. There's some folks that can cry at the drop of a hat. And ain't nothing touching them yet. The Holy Spirit ain't get to church yet. My wife and I, we pastored another church. We had a lady like that. I can't call her name, but she used to call up. God rest her soul. Whiner. She called my wife. She be talking regular. Hi, how you doing? It's Pastor there. As soon as I got the... as soon as I said hello, she broke. She was regular. She talked to my wife. She was regular. I could hear her. She was regular. How you doing? I'm having a great day. The sun is shining. The birds are flying. It's passing there. Yes, may I help you, sister so-and-so? Right then and there, I had a revelation. Right then and there. We have actors and actors in the church, but we got the real folk in the church too. That love God. These folk don't understand that the body of Christ is made up of all kind of folk, because the church is really like a hospital. It's like an emergency room. And whatever your condition is, you come in and we try to do triage on you. But the medicine is Jesus. Some folk don't like medicine. Some folk won't take no medicine. The prescription is sin and the medicine is Jesus. They go, oh. You misdescribed me. When he told him to sell everything that he had. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away what? For he had what? I believe great possessions had him. Because if he understood, like the woman at the well, who it was that asked him, for a drink of water, she would have said, sir. If we understand when we invite to accept Christ who he really is, if we can get beyond our possessions, we wouldn't walk away sorrowful. Some people walk away sorrowful because church didn't go the way they thought it was going to go. But how do you think it was going to go if you don't know where church is supposed to go? If you don't know Jesus, how do you know how church is supposed to go? No, it's supposed to be a place where the Holy Spirit can come in and do what the Holy Spirit needs to do. Every service is not going to be the same. Every message is not going to be the same. Every message is not going to be a hoop and a holler and jumping over the pulpit and everything. Sometimes it's just quiet stuff. But God said, I want you to marinate and chew on that for about a week. Some Sundays, 15 people will join. Some Sundays, nobody will join. That means it wasn't a good message. See, you don't know how church operates because the Spirit of God don't operate that way. Some Sundays, folk get healed that Sunday. And sometimes they get healed by Wednesday. And they come back with a testimony. You don't know how God's going to work. God said, you can't put me in a box. You can't figure me out. I want you to understand. All I want you to understand is I sent Jesus to die for you. And he got up for you. If you can accept that, then we'd be all right. But do you really want eternal life? Good. Sell what you got. Good. Get all that stuff out the way. Stop thinking like that if you want eternal life. Stop living like that if you want eternal life. Stop thinking you know it all if you want eternal life. Oh, your intelligence can get in the way. Your money can get in the way. All that stuff that we got can get in the way of us accepting and serving Jesus Christ because great possessions have us. Did you ever think about that? The person that comes in and says, well, you know, Pastor, I would come to church. But since you and a diaconate prayed for me to get my Cadillac, and see, Sundays I ain't got to work. So I got to ride. The stuff we let get in the way. Think about the stuff that stops us from doing ministry, but the same stuff lets us go to work. Stuff that blocks not only your blessing, blocked mine because you were supposed to do something, supposed to bless me when I showed up at church, but no, you got all wrapped up in you, so you decide you were not going to do it. So now I don't have what I need because you're not here. Stuff that blocks us from either being blessed or receiving our blessings. Wow, did you ever think about that? God called me to do this, and then when God begins to show you what you really need to do to be this, you're like, oh no, oh my God. See, when you want to be in the spotlight, be very careful. Because when the spotlight's on, it show everything. You ever been to a theater and they ain't dust the floor and the spotlight come on? You be like, every time she dances, something pops up off the floor. But stuff. There's somebody in here right now, you sitting on a gift and you got stuff that won't let you use your gift. Because you got too many other stuff. You got so many excuses you could use. I would if I could. I think I should. But when I did, they wouldn't. I don't know. God is trying to tell somebody today, look, you need to get out of all that stuff. Because those possessions have you. They have you missing the blessings that God has in store for you. And if you're looking for the perfect church, you're going to have to wait all the way till Christ comes back to find it. So I would implore you to just go forth and just grab Jesus Christ and let him do what he needs to do. See, you know, it's like sell everything you have. No. Give up this. No, God. Is there another way I can get eternal life? Do you have a cheaper version? What's that fake diamond? Zubik? What's that stuff called? Zirconia? Do you have that? Please? I can afford that, but I don't want that. That's what the young man said. I could give up my stuff, but I don't want to. That's what someone said. God, I could give up my life, but I don't want to. God, I could change my way, but I don't want to. I want my cake, and I want to eat it too. I want to be in sin, and I want to be saved. I want to worship you, and I want to be wild. Oh, that's what we want these. Come on, give me that other. Give me the zirconium, please. I want the zirconium package. It looked like it saved. It shined like it saved. But when you read it, it really ain't saved. Some people want the zirconium package. They want you to think. Thank you. They want you to think it's a dime. until you get close up on. They'd be back. Oh, good, you're close. Especially with my glasses. They say, oh, Pastor, you got those thick ones on today. You're going to see this ain't real. No. But you know what the young man said? No, can't do. Number one, he said, what can I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, you need to keep the commandments. You need to go sell what you have and give to the poor. And he said, no, can't do. That's what folks do in church. They get the message, get excited. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is speaking to them, saying, come on, accept me as your Lord. And say, no, can't do. I'm zirconium. I'm from the planet zirconium. No, can't do. Because I'm not ready to. I could, but I won't. He could have sold everything he had because Peter's already told him, you got treasure in heaven and come follow me. No, can't do. Can't do right now. Don't want change right now. Life is good right now. Sin is good. I won't give him up. I won't give her up. I got to stay where I am. I'm doing bad, but I'm in love. I ain't got no job, but he loves me. He ain't got nothing either, but we in love. Love don't pay no bill. Don't make no sandwich. Don't cook no food. I'm a great possessor. Something. There's some folks don't come to church because whoever they in love with don't let them come to church. That's being in bondage. That's something having control over you. You got your life. When Jesus comes back, he ain't going to say, where your boo? I wish I had a witness of that. But the Lamb's Book of Life. You and boo. No. Great possessions can cause you great problems because possessions don't complete your life. Possessions improperly regarded can adversely affect your life. One must understand who Jesus is and why he came and what he brought so one can make an intelligent decision about what Jesus has to offer. That's why so many people get into contracts that don't make any sense because you don't take time to understand what it is that you're trying to buy, what you're trying to purchase, or what you're trying to negotiate. You got to understand what it is before you sign on the dotted line. You got to read the small print, the fine print. This young ruler decided that his possession were worth more than eternal life. So he walked away from Jesus. Eternal life lost and sad. Temporary happiness for eternal damnation. Look at the trade-off. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at this and say, he wanted temporary joy for eternal damnation. The truth of the matter is this young man had great possessions, but he did not realize that he could have had the greater possession. The choice is yours, but before you make a decision, let me inform you that you don't have the greatest possession yet. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So out of all the stuff that you and I can accumulate, if we don't have Jesus, we still don't have the greater possession. And Philippians picks it up. Paul picks up in Philippians and said this in chapter 2 and verse 9. He says this. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Wow. Of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is blocking you from accepting Jesus Christ, or what is blocking you from a productive, fruitful life in Christ? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He became like us so we could become like him. Wow, think about that. But I'm glad, because a lot of times we use Isaiah chapter 6 when we talk about Jesus. But God said, who will go for us? And Jesus said, here am I, send me. But you know what I'm glad about? That when God decided to send Jesus, that Jesus didn't say to his father, you know what? No can do. No, daddy, I'm like the rich young ruler. No can do. I got so much possessions up in heaven. Why should I give up that? Why should I divest myself of my deity and become humanity so humanity can become like, oh no, I no can do. I'm zirconium. No can do. I'm so glad that Jesus did not tell his father, no, I got greater possessions here. I'm so glad he didn't walk away sorrowful and said, no. No, I don't want it. I'm glad that when his father sent him down and he said, yeah, prepare me a body. I'm glad that when he looked at all his possessions, he looked at us and said, you know what? What's down there is worth more than what's up here. Because what's up here is going to be here when I get back. But if I don't go down there, what's down there ain't going to be nothing. And I'll still be here. But my God made them in his own image that they might fellowship with him. I'm so glad he decided to leave the stuff there and come down here. I'm so glad he didn't say no can do. Oh, I apologize to anybody that has a zirconium ring on. I wasn't trying to mess with you. I meant to say that. Because they teaching us in the school, stop, you know, when you say stuff, somebody might have that on. You know what I mean? So I did my homework. If my professor comes in and asks you, I apologize for being out of pocket, so to speak. But I know. I'm so glad that Jesus did not tell his father, no can do. He said, no, prepare me a body. And Mary was a body, and he was born through the Virgin Mary. And I'm mighty glad that when he hung on the cross, that he still didn't say, no, can't do. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had great possessions, or the great possessions had him. Nobody had greater possessions than Jesus. But the love that he had for us was so much greater than the love that he had for heaven. Wow. See, we miss that sometimes because we just sweep that right under the rug. Our salvation, what Jesus went through. He God. No, but it was in his flesh that he went through what he went through. Real nails, real whips, real stones, metal, crowns of thorns, piercing, real stuff, real spit, real unfair trials and judgment for you and for me. I'm so glad he didn't say no can do. Jesus asked his father, what can I do that they can have eternal life? Give up your deity and go down and be one of them. No can do. He said, yes, I will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And before we play our closeout song, listen to this. It was a 99 degree September day in San Antonio when a 10-month-old baby girl was accidentally locked inside a parked car by her aunt. Frantically, the mother and aunt ran around the auto in near hysteria while a neighbor attempted to unlock the car with a clothes hanger. Soon the infant was turning purple and had foam on her mouth. It had become a life or death situation. I need to let somebody know you're in a life or death situation. You're the walking dead. You're not saved. You're walking dead. You are walking in eternal damnation, looking good, looking happy, smelling good with everything you ever wanted in life. Great possessions got you. It had become a life or death situation when Fred Areola, a record driver, arrived on the scene. He grabbed a hammer and smashed the back window of the car to set her free. Was he heralded a hero? No. The lady was mad at me because I broke the window, the trucker reported. I just thought, what's more important, the baby or the window? I mean, he's a wrecker, and he had the thing to get the, you know, how you jibby it to get the open. But when he saw the little girl in there turning purple, foaming at the mouth, he said, the heck with all the stuff I've been trained in. I need to get her some air. So he took a hammer and broke the back window. But the lady that owned the car, listen to this. Most questions of priority are not between something important and something trivial. Rather, between the important and the most important. What is the most important decision that you can make in your life? Is it important that you keep your possessions, or is it most important that Jesus Christ possesses you? He had great possessions, but guess what? Nobody greater. Nobody greater. You can search all over. Couldn't find nobody. Somebody's locked in a car right now. And you know what the sad part is? You don't need the wrecker to come to open it. You could open it yourself. You have the ability to get out of the mess that you're in. And his name is Jesus. Because there's nobody greater. You got the ability. You're not the baby. You're stuck in a situation right now, and all the windows are rolled up, and they thought they locked you in. But you heard about a man named Jesus. And all you said to yourself, if I could just touch. Somebody reminded me on TV this morning that when the Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace, they went in bondage, but they came out free. So when you're in stuff, you're in bondage. But when you get a chance to come out, you'll be free.